Team Talk, episode 19, 7-Year Intervention. Welcome back to Team Talk, and actually, to get us started, I would like to reintroduce our guest hosts, our permanent guest hosts, Tara McComas.
Hi.
Oh, T, thank you so much for joining me back on Team Talk, which is our podcast, actually. I don't know if you remember that.
You could say ours.
Okay.
Or yours.
Yeah, and so you're under the impression, though, that this is an extreme invasion of your privacy.
Wade knows I don't like doing these podcasts, and which is probably why we haven't done one together since, what, last year?
I think that was much longer ago than that.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. No hard feelings. But I would say that one of the things that I've been thinking through just as far as the podcast is concerned is that lots of people do podcasting where they give up huge amounts of personal details, but they also monetize it.
Well, maybe if we were to monetize it, then
yeah, sure.
I don't know. No.
Yeah. No. Okay. What kind of sponsorship deals do you think we could get?
Ooh, I don't know.
Do you think the CSB would sponsor us?
Doubtful.
Yeah, that's doubtful. I could ask Brandon.
I can't imagine anyone would want to sponsor our podcast.
That's true. I've kept it clean, though. We have a clean rating. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
No grown-up words being used on this podcast. Throughout 19 episodes, which I'm pretty proud of. All right. Well, hey, T, we've got a couple things to talk about today. It is today, as we are recording, the 15th of September, 2023. Mm-hmm. Last year at this time, we were either just getting ready to be back or we're right now back.
No, I think we were finishing up furlough.
Okay.
And arriving back, I think, in like the next week or so.
Okay. Have we recovered from furlough? Have you recovered? Have we recovered?
I think we've recovered. It took a long time.
Yeah.
But yes, I'd say we've recovered.
I've paid off the sleep debt. It took me a year.
The sleep debt was worth it.
Is it?
Don't you think?
I don't know.
Having seen all of our friends and family and spent time with people, that
okay,
was
sure.
worth it to me. But I think what we had to actually recover from was the months leading up to furlough and then the months coming back from furlough along with the time that we were in the States.
That is true.
I think that for both of us in different ways, we didn't realize it at the time, but we were kind of going through a bit of burnout.
Yeah, no, we were totally burnt out. And
I didn't realize it till we got back from the States.
Yeah, that's because you keep a full calendar all the time. And so you don't allow yourself to sense burnout.
No. But then when I got back, I just couldn't actually cope with
it. I was despairing for life, but you were fine. that's
I'm always fine till I'm not
fine. Hold on,
fine
we just celebrated our 15th year of marriage.
Yeah.
And that's basically our 15 years of marriage. Not in our marriage. I'm not despairing of life in our marriage.
Well,
I think you're great.
Thankfully, we've never been in that spot at the same time.
That is true. No, God has been merciful to us in that way.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
All right. All right, T. There's so much going on. There's so much going on right now.
You know, actually, now that I think about it, no, we were back from furlough. We got back from furlough the end of August. I can't believe it's
for
September.
For our church's anniversary.
Yeah, and then we had our regional conference the beginning of October.
That's right.
So, no, we would have already been back.
That's right. Okay, so actually, speaking of which, so we got back for our 6th anniversary. I preached that weekend.
Mm-hmm.
I just preached for our 7th anniversary last weekend?
Last week, yeah.
Man, that was a long week. 7 years. That's almost half of our marriage.
Yeah, when you told me that the other day, I actually couldn't believe it. It doesn't feel like it's been that long, but it has been.
We have been...
Well, we've been in Hermanus for almost 8 years.
Yeah, so for literally half our marriage.
Yeah.
Yeah. So for half of our marriage, we've lived in Hermanus. We've been planting Anchored Baptist Church.
Uh-huh.
And I think that, you know, the idea, so we're getting ready to move from Hermanus to someplace else, Pretoria, and that, for you and me, a move, that doesn't sound crazy.
Mm-hmm.
But this is the longest we've ever lived in one place.
That's true.
So that sounds kind of crazy to me, that we would be making a change at this point in life.
Yeah, I mean, this is the longest I've lived in one place for since I was a kid.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, so, like, I know that's what also what we're kind of called to do. We're missionaries, right? Is that what missionaries do? You learn to love a place and then you leave it?
I don't know. I'd have to ask some real missionaries.
Yeah, we'll ask real missionaries. Yeah. Yeah, I think it's an interesting thing how I was thinking about this the other day. I was listening to a pastor talk about someone that his church was hiring, and he was sitting in on the interviewing process. And he lives in the northern United States, and this guy was coming from a small town in the south. And so one of the things he brought up was he seems like a very capable person. He seemed like he could do the job well at this church, whatever it was. But one of the things he realized, I think he came from a coastal town too, This guy was going to be giving up like his entire like way of living, which was a little bit slower, maybe a little bit thoughtful, sounds bad, not trying to condemn New York City, but a little bit slower and leisurely is not necessarily the right word, but you're just giving up a lot of creature comforts going from a spacious rural coastal town to New York City.
Yeah.
Now we're leaving a not necessarily spacious rural town. We're kind of our own little mini city here that's trapped in by the mountains, which creates a lot of dysfunction. And now we're going to a larger city. The capital, actually. We're going to the capital.
One of the
capitals. But when I talk to people, they all say the capital. They say Pretoria is the capital.
So how do you feel about moving?
Good. I'm not looking forward to the process of packing and all that nonsense. But the move itself, I'm feeling good about it. Although I will say, too, it is extraordinarily hot in Pretoria. And
it's about 20 degrees hotter there today probably than it is here.
That's true. I'm sitting in a fleece right now, loving life. That whole despairing of life thing, that's going to happen a lot in Pretoria. Because we bought a house.
We did.
We sold a house. We bought a house.
Yes.
And usually at our house when it's hot, we have concrete floors. And I say, hey, T, no offense. I love you, but I'm going to sleep on the concrete for the first 4 hours of the night. Mm-hmm. And then usually I get cold and I come up into bed in like the dead of summer.
Mm-hmm.
People don't usually use that phrase, right? It's the dead of winter. For me, it's the dead of summer. And in Pretoria, we bought a house, which is a lovely home. I'm so excited about it. But it has carpet.
Carpet, yeah. In the bedrooms.
In the bedrooms. So I don't know where I'm going to get cool at. If I'm allowed to sleep on the tile in the living room or what. Hey, can we talk about the house real quick?
Mm-hmm.
We sold our house that we're living in currently. We own it up until a certain date.
Mm-hmm.
And then we're purchasing a house in Pretoria.
Mm-hmm.
And I visited the house on my own without you.
That's true.
And I walked away thinking that I did not know the price of the house. I was confused, as I normally am. And I said, hey, T, that house is amazing. It's too bad that we can't afford it. And you were like, no, that's the one that we can afford. And I was like, well, we would be foolish to not get that house. Because it's beautiful.
No, it's a great house. A
lot of maintenance.
Well, I mean, It's 47 years old.
It is 47 years old. Now, to
Do
everyone...
Do 47-year-olds have a lot of maintenance to...
My brother is... I'll ask. If anyone out there is below the age of 47, you're asking the same question. And it's totally normal. If you're above that age, you know the answer. And we would like... We demand a response, actually.
But no, I think our whole housing process is one of the ways that we've seen God provide and just direct us in this move of just our house sold quickly here. We were able to find a house there that fits our family, that's in a good spot where we wanted to be, something we could afford. And yeah, so yeah. We're doing it. We're moving the end of November.
Let's put a little caveat in there. The reason why we're able to afford it is because the housing market up there is totally collapsed.
Well, let's just say we're moving not in the same direction that most people are moving.
That's right. Everyone else is moving to the Western Cape, and we decided to go up there. We're just making sound investments. That's what we're doing. We're investors, really. That's what we do.
But,
yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. But you did see the house.
Yeah. So
we went up there two weekends ago, and you got to see the house.
I did.
Was it?
You didn't make a bad choice.
Oh, thank goodness.
It's a good spot. It's beautiful. And I can't wait, actually.
I didn't feel bad about picking the house up until I realized that you were actually going to go and visit it. And then I had all this
angst. Wade was so nervous.
Oh, my goodness.
Too late, though.
Yeah, so every room we walked in, I just hovered and said, "So, do you like it?" No, I didn't do that.
Well.
And there's a pool.
That's true.
Whoa. We're like super fancy now. So if you're listening to this and you want to make a trip to South Africa, we don't have enough room for your whole family probably, but we got enough room for you and your family can sleep with you and there's a pool.
Yeah, we're giving up the ocean for a pool.
That's true. That's a little bit.
It's okay.
Yeah, that's fine.
Yeah, so moving, getting ready to say our goodbyes here.
Yeah.
I think it hit me when we were in our meeting the other day to realize that you only have, 3 weeks left preaching at Anchorage?
One, two. Yeah, I guess so.
How many?
Three or four? I can't remember.
How many sermons do you think you've preached at Anchorage
over
the last
7 billion. 8 billion.
Years?
No, I don't have a clue. I mean, COVID year.
You preached every single Sunday.
It was 48 sermons.
Yeah.
That was a bit much.
Been a lot, and now you have three left.
I'm excited about it. I can't say that these last three are going to be my best ones, which is probably good, because now people are looking at me with all these rose-colored glasses as we're getting ready to leave, and that's not the way they've been looking at me.
Well, you are kind of pink.
Yes, that's true, T. Yeah, that's
true. It's not
the
glasses.
I keep telling everyone, no, I'm actually rose-colored, like a light rose gold.
No, I'm just poking fun. But no, I think that...
Don't poke the pink bear, otherwise known as a pig, I think. Yeah.
Yeah, so saying goodbye to our ministry at Anchorage.
Saying goodbye to our ministry at Anchorage, which let's come back to that in a second because we want to talk about an intervention that took place, the meeting that you referenced. But we're also saying hello to something, too.
That's true.
So the reason why we got to go look at the house is that we went up to Rooted Fellowship.
Mm-hmm.
And notice, Americans, you'll notice I said rooted.
Rooted.
What did I say?
You say rooted.
Rooted.
No, it's not rooted.
Rooted.
R-O-O-T-E-D.
Yeah, so it all kind of blends together, but I was at Rooted and...
Rooted. Anyway.
Rooted Fellowship. I'm going to get it right eventually. And I got to preach up there for their like yearly 3-day quote-unquote conference. It's an event.
Yeah.
Usually they have like really good speakers come in. Like one of them was a rugby coach this year. And then one guy canceled. because he had to do a funeral, which then I got to mosey into the spot, which was fun. I don't know if it was fun for everyone, but it was fun for me. And in preaching, I've realized that's like 60% of it. No, I'm joking.
Yeah.
What was different? What was different about being at Rooted? I'm not necessarily saying good, bad, or otherwise. Just like, what was different being there than...
Everything's different in Pretoria from here. So it's almost like, I think when we went up there in January of this year, we came back and said, wow, this is going to be like moving to a different country almost. Like it's so drastically different. So I think the church there is different. It's a different, it's just got a different feel than our church, but I love both and I'm excited to join in with what's happening up there.
Yeah. So at Anchored too, you know, one of the funny things is people are basically non-responsive when you're preaching, which is fine. They're quiet. Totally fine. But I had to brace myself going up to Rooted because they respond while you're preaching. You get feedback,
really nice,
which is actually really nice. And then, so I preached on Friday and then I preached on Sunday. Or no, I didn't preach on Sunday, but I led the service on Sunday. There was no response. And I suddenly, like, it was a hard transition back, actually.
Yeah, the two, they're just so different. In my mind, I don't even compare them. It's like when people ask you, like, oh, well, what's the U.S. like compared to South Africa? You know, they're just so different. I don't even compare them in my head. They're just two different things.
That's true. But now that my parents are visiting for these last 3 weeks, we do know that they sell Cheetos in South Africa.
And we have a six-year-old who's pretty excited that we've discovered this.
Kian Chester McComas. I think that's his name.
I don't know where his love of Cheetos stems from, but when we were in the States this last year, he had Cheetos for the first time and just decided he loves them.
Well, because we found a pack for him, and they were, what's the hot ones? Flaming Hot.
Flaming Hot Cheetos.
But they were from the UAE. And so, like, they tasted okay, but then my parents found the American ones here, and they are different. The texture is different. Also, the...
See, I don't taste a difference between
Oh, babe, did you even have any from this last pack?
Yeah, I did.
Okay, well, I think they're extraordinarily different, and the powder is explosively toxic, I think. Whatever's on the outside, it is, like, Kian's hands are still orange from washing them like 30 times already, so...
Yeah.
I mean, Cheetos are great. I'm not down on Cheetos. I'm just saying...
It's okay to be down on Cheetos.
There's similarities now that we realize between South Africa and America. Okay, all right, let's move on from that talk. Let's actually briefly touch on that meeting that we had, which I was excited about. So last week we got a super ominous message, India, if you're going to listen to this, from India, of Josh in India, the intern, who's no longer the intern. And it was, hey, we need to talk, which in church planting, I've realized, is never a good message to receive.
It's true.
Usually it's, pastor, I think you're...
Hey, can I come over? I need to talk to you.
You're stupid and you're, like, direly sinning, doing something, whatever it is. But this was a good meeting.
This was a good meeting,
This was a good meeting. This was with all of the... So we don't have elders yet at Anchored. We have men who are stepping into the role of elder pastor, and as the church continues to grow, those men will be affirmed, confirmed, whatever, by the congregation. Basically, it's not my role to just hand select and say, this is what is. Rather, we want the congregation to own up to its responsibility in that. And so they sat us down, and they had an intervention with us. An intervention that I was hesitant to do for myself. And that was, hey guys, I need to be done on this date. this needs to happen, blah, 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 blah. Instead, yeah. they came to us and were like, okay, Wade, you've made some suggestions in the past. How about you be done preaching on this date? I had already requested to preach Reformation Sunday, which is the end of October, mm-hmm. which will be my last sermon. Mm-hmm. And everyone was happy with that. And everyone basically said, okay, we know that these are responsibilities that we actually need to start taking up. And there's no time like the present.
Yeah, so as of the 1st of October, you and I are
I'll just be congregants. I'll be a lay preacher on the 29th or whenever Reformation Sunday is. So I'm excited about that. I think it's a good thing.
I'm excited because
we've been waiting 7 years.
The church is in good hands, and they're going to be good without us.
Yeah, they will be.
They'll miss us, and we'll miss them.
True.
But they are well-equipped to move forward. And
they are. They don't see it in all the ways, but they are well-equipped. And
certainly more equipped than we were 8 years ago.
Yes, and amen.
Yeah.
Definitely. Thank you to everyone that was patient with me.
Yeah, so...
Yeah.
I think the thing we've just been recalling over the last months and weeks especially is just that the life of Anchored is one that's completely marked by God's faithfulness. And
that's true.
Us leaving is not... It will leave gaps, and yet gaps that the Lord is able to fill and mm-hmm. use that for the sanctification of the church and for the people there. And so
I don't know if this is true with missions everywhere and in certain like subsets of communities in South Africa. This isn't necessarily true, but by and large, what you normally see, and actually this isn't just with missions, this is also with pastors as well. What you normally see is people hesitant to take up responsibility if there's someone else that can do it in the church or is perceived as being paid to do it, or in this sense is being supported internationally to do it.
I would imagine that's probably the same all over the place.
Maybe it is. I just can't. I don't know. I can't speak to that.
Yeah.
And so what that usually turns into is no matter how many times like we initiate or would start the process of handing things over, people are a bit resistant to it and not looking to take on something that someone else is more than happy to do. So that's just human nature too. Great, fine. But
yeah, well, if you think about where we were a year ago, coming back from furlough, we had no idea that these changes that we're making now were on the horizon. We really thought we were coming back for an indefinite period of time at Anchored. And yet...
Well, yes and no, right? So we always have looked at furloughs as being a test run of, okay, is the church ready?
Yeah.
And so we've done two of those furloughs, and the second one went better.
Yeah.
Even though the intern, Joshua, ended up doing a lot of the work. And I think for you and I, there was definitely this, we actually really needed people to start stepping in and taking different roles. Because...
Yeah, I mean, you and I have said to each other coming back from furlough, we knew we couldn't step back into the same roles that we had been in previously. We just knew that where we were as a family, where we were in our own lives, we just couldn't keep doing that.
We couldn't maintain like we had for the previous 7 or 6 years.
Yeah, so something would have had to have changed, but I don't think we could have anticipated a move up north.
Yeah.
And yet, I think since October of last year, I mean, we've just only had confirmation that this is what's best for us and this is what's best for Anchored, and we just have to trust that the Lord will care for us and for them as we say goodbye for now.
Yeah. Hey, what's actually one of the things, let's talk about family for a second here. I want to get back to the 7th anniversary, but one of the things that has made this possible, this move, and even the openness to being able to consider going somewhere else was that, well, to be quite frank, we were getting priced out of our kids' school before we went on furlough.
Mm-hmm.
And not only were we getting priced out of it, but what we realized was, you know, when you have one or two kids in school, you know, doing remedial work at the end of the day is just kind of natural. You know, you sit down, you talk about things. But what we were finding was with such an age range of kids and mm-hmm. the number of our children, we actually couldn't do remedial stuff. And so we weren't even picking up sometimes on where the kids needed help and where they didn't need help. And not that the school was doing anything wrong, but, you know, it wasn't worth the price tag anymore either.
Yeah, there were too many gaps that we just didn't feel like it was worth paying for what we were paying.
So what happened?
So when we got back from furlough last year, we decided that maybe we should consider homeschooling. Mm-hmm. Then we realized we actually only had like a month to decide.
Yes, that's right.
And so we did a pretty big deep dive into what that would be like and researching options. And it was just amazing that the Lord had it already organized that our friends were coming from the States and they brought some things with us. Thanks, guys.
Suitcases of things.
Yeah, a lot of stuff. And we embarked on this new homeschooling journey in mm-hmm. January of this year.
Mm-hmm.
So we're almost finished with our first year. By the time we move, we'll have finished our first year of school.
Yeah.
Now so that would have been grade 7, grade 4,
okay.
grade 2, mm-hmm. and grade R, kindergarten.
Mm-hmm.
And Sybil's rotates through what she wants to do.
That's right. So she does, like, grade 4 Bible and history. Yeah. And then sometimes she does grade 7 history.
She often gets removed from class, though, for being naughty.
She does, for being cheeky. And trying to take over the lessons, actually.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, especially if it's a digital lesson. She likes to make sure that her piece is said. And
but, yeah, I mean, when we made the decision to homeschool, we didn't know that these other changes were on the horizon. And mm-hmm. yet, I think that was one of the biggest ways that the Lord had already unsettled our roots here to kind of get us ready to go. And so
and we had the kids sign a 2-year contract in blood.
Yeah, so we've got one more year that we'll do it, and then we'll decide if we're going to carry on with it. But
or better said, we had a loose agreement that said, hey guys, maybe let's try this for 2 years.
Let's try it for 2 years
in blood.
But I think we're already seeing so many positive benefits from it.
That's true.
That everybody's excited to do it for another year.
Yeah.
Maybe schools in our future.
Yeah.
I'm not opposed to that either. But this just gives us a lot of stability as we move to carry on with what we've been doing and a little bit more flexibility. I think once we started homeschooling, I realized why a lot of families in ministry homeschool, because it does just give you a little bit more flexibility. Because for forever, I mean, your weekends are busy doing ministry, then your weeks start back in with school, and you don't have a lot of margin. And so what this provided us was a little bit of margin for just family time and other things. And our kids have always been such active participants in ministry, and yet this is kind of, well, it's allowed them to be more involved, and it's forced me to pull back in a lot of things to focus on homeschooling. So in some ways, I think it's allowed them to be more involved, and I wouldn't say me less involved, but certainly in a different way.
Yeah. No, I actually needed you to homeschool the kids because if ministry, or actually, let's just say if our lives are a car, you're the lead boot that goes on the accelerator. And I really needed to move the lead boot into the passenger seat. And I needed to have a far more sensitive ankle working the accelerator, which is me. I'm sensitive. I've got delicate rose gold skin, and I'm sensitive.
Well, it's working for us for now, which I'm thankful for.
Yeah.
It's actually, though, I mean, coming back from furlough, feeling pretty burnt out in life and ministry and everything, I didn't expect homeschooling to be a way that God would just kind of mend some things in my life, and I think bring us together as a family in different ways that...
So have we become totally insular?
I hope not.
No, we haven't.
That's a joke.
Come on.
No, but...
We just don't let the outside world in. I'm joking.
We've adjusted. I think as our kids have gotten older, we just needed more time to do different discipleship.
Yeah, that's true.
We just needed more time, actually. More time in our day with working on things and just teaching. And I think you and I have said so many times, it's so easy to think that your kids are absorbing things because you're teaching everybody else all these things. And then we realize that maybe we've missed certain things in our own kids' lives. And this year has offered us countless opportunities to do it. Whether we've always been faithful in doing it, we're not. But I'm thankful for the time that we've had and will have now in this next year.
That's true. Okay, next up, let's talk about the 7th anniversary. Well, first of all, a couple months ago, I had made a couple of quips in church about, you know, the creation of our church culture and how hard we've worked to do that. Specifically, the diverse nature of our church culture, being a church of many ages and culture groups and so on and so forth. Which typically here, church kind of does get divided up by, not just within a church, but actual churches get divided up by age and by culture group. Mm-hmm. And so you'll have very old churches, you'll have young people churches, you'll have middle-aged churches, and...
churches based off of what language you speak.
That's right.
What culture you
are. And none of them shall ever meet.
Yeah.
Yeah, and... you know, we were joking about that cultural creation, and one of the things that we said, you know, like we mentioned, like some of the songs that we sing, some of the songs I've written for the church that we sing and make it, you know, unique to our church body. Mm-hmm. Along with that, too, the food that we eat, you know, cultures have foods, and our church culture food is lasagna.
Yeah, I don't know how it came to be that
way,
but...
Look, there's a place in town, it's a cafe where you can order things that you then take and bake.
Yeah.
And...
But, like, really good homemade
like
food.
Like, really good. Like, it's delicious. I don't even eat it, because there's never going to be enough that will satiate me. But I dish it up. I stand behind the table and dish it up, just because I love the joyful faces of people receiving the lasagna.
Yeah.
Because the lasagna is, especially if you live in the township, if you live in Swahili here, you're not going to be making lasagna.
Well, I don't even make lasagna.
No, we don't even. Sometimes we do.
Well.
We got the one pot lasagna.
Finn and I watched Joanna Gaines' Magnolia Table, saw her
make
lasagna.
So you're one
lasagna.
Of those ladies.
Well, I guess so. I don't know.
Sarah Burns.
It was our first time watching it, but we saw her make lasagna, and I thought, oh, no, okay, I think that's doable. it's good. It's good that we support local businesses. It's good that lasagna has become a staple. Yes. And
because it's good for your health.
Oh, and wait. I don't have to make it for 60 people.
That's right. You don't have to make it. So sorry, we did get cut off there. You made the magnolia table.
Lasagna. And it was delicious.
But lasagna here is different. And thankfully someone else makes it for us. It was delicious. It was really good.
It was. If you haven't tried it, give it a try.
But we just had our 7th anniversary service. 7 years blessed.
Yeah.
And we did not have lasagna.
It's true. We thought we'd try something new. And I'd say
it was we had a lot of people.
Yeah.
We had a lot of people. So that was...
It was like half and half. You know, some people were like, hey, where's the lasagna? And other people were like, oh, this is nice.
It was just
different.
Kian and Martha, actually. Kian and Martha really wanted that lasagna.
Yeah, no, I think the kids love the lasagna.
Kian loves the lasagna.
Well, it is good. If you're ever in Hermanas, then look up Candies. They make the best lasagna. Okay.
Since all of you will now have a reason to come here that we're leaving, right?
Oh, yeah, true.
Yeah, well, okay, anyway.
Sorry you missed out on that.
Yeah, anniversary service was good, though.
It was so good.
Good
it
meal.
Was...
My parents were there.
Those times are just fun to spend together and just kind of have these milestones of just remembering what God has done and moving forward with the knowledge that if God has carried us this far through these things, then why would we doubt that he's going to be faithful to us in the future?
Yep.
Even though there are some uncertainties, for sure, mm-hmm. It was good that we did that and that we kind of had that towards the tail end of
our time there. Isn't it interesting how, everyone looks at the fact that we're leaving as, oh, wait, there's uncertainties now. There were uncertainties.
There's always been uncertainties.
I don't, maybe it is just because, it's crazy that someone would look at me and say, well, he's the stabilizing force, right? And yet.
No, it's true. I think it's easy to think and look at where the church is now and think, oh, wow, now what is it going to be like moving forward? But you're absolutely right. I mean, when we started talking about this, 7-8 years ago, I mean, no one thought this was going to be. Viable.
Yes.
No one thought this is a great idea.
Right.
And pretty much through the last 7 years, we've never known what this was going to be like. It was, Finn and I were just finishing up watching Lord of the Rings last night.
Okay.
So Finn's gotten me into Lord of the Rings, which I remember watching as like a teenager, like middle schooler maybe, and thinking, what on earth? Because I didn't grow up knowing what any of that was. And now
what on Middle Earth is going on here?
Watching it and reading it through the eyes of our 12-year-old who just adores it.
Just for the record, Tara's not saying that only 12-year-olds can enjoy this.
No, but he just has a love for everything
that's true.
Tolkien.
He's got the map up on his wall.
Yeah, everything Middle Earth, everything Lord of the Rings. He's into it.
Yes.
And so we finished up
Return of the King.
The Return of the King mm-hmm. yesterday. And the one part where...
Tara didn't even cry. I don't even think she cried.
It was very emotional. Where they realize that they're going to have to cause a diversion.
Yes.
And Gimli's like, okay, well, it's high risk, low rate of success or something like that. I kind of feel like that's what Anchored has been. And what it was when we started out, because it was high risk and low rate of success that this was all going to work out and that you could plant a church that was multicultural, that was not a hype machine. It was just simple, and it was just preaching the gospel and caring for people and... a lot of it was born out of just hospitality of us and others and just meeting the needs of those around us and seeing people come to know the Lord. Now that I'm thinking about it, that's what it felt like. So moving forward, it's kind of like, well, nothing's actually changed. It's just...
Yeah, that's true. And, hey, look, we had some other visitors there, friends from Somerset West, and it was such a blessing to have them there for the service. And I think one of the things they walked away with was, wow, that's a strange church. Right?
It is a strange church. Yeah.
Like, it's not often, especially in South Africa or in the Western Cape in particular, where you go in and it is diverse in all those ways that we talk about, economically, racially, age-wise. And you got everyone, you know, saying the creeds and singing strange songs that no one else knows because we made those songs, we made those tunes.
Yeah.
We follow a lectionary, so there's a lot of scripture reading in every mm-hmm. service. Mm-hmm. And all of that, too, simply born out of, okay, this is what people normally do. What do we actually need? Like, what do people need when they sit down in these chairs, when they stand up to sing? What do we need to be hearing? And so it was, you know, it's been an 8-year process, a 7-year process of this is the bare bones. This is the bare bones of what we must have and what we need to do.
Yeah.
And I think most people that visit Anchored walk away with that sense of, okay, that's not like a church that I'm used to going to, but I see what you're doing there. And I'm thankful for that.
Yeah, it's never going to be big or flashy or... like full of important people things. It's just
an important person would walk in and feel humble. Very unimportant.
It's humble. That's what I love about it is everything is very intentionally thought out and planned and executed in the way that there's always hiccups, right? What do we say? It's the happy
I don't know what you're
chaos
saying.
No, of Anchorage.
Oh, that's true. Shannon said that.
But it's good. So I think
I do an excellent job.
No, I'm not being critical. I love it. I think that there's lots of things that I'm gonna miss about it and we have been formed so much at Anchored that we have sometimes wondered why on earth God brought us to Hermanus and kept us here for 8 years.
Yep.
And yet we can see how the Lord has shaped us in ways that we wouldn't have been elsewhere.
Yep.
So...
Hey, yeah. can we talk about the fact that you didn't want to do this, and we're now at 42 minutes?
Well, I didn't say I couldn't talk. I said
okay,
that.
All right. So we're going to have to wrap it up now, and we'll do a part two, all right? So
No, part. This is good.
This is it. Okay, I'll do the part two. All right, T, so last bit. We usually do this. Are you reading anything interesting, listening to anything interesting, learning anything interesting, watching anything interesting? All of the above interesting. What's up? What's going on with you? I actually did not come prepared for this question, so I don't think I can give an answer. But
well, I a few months ago listened to Colin Hanson's book about Tim Keller's spiritual formation,
mm-hmm.
and having I don't know. How do you say it? I'm not a Tim Keller fan because that's something he would just like cringe at. I have so appreciated his teaching and writing and over the years that book I loved every bit of it. And I loved listening to Colin Hanson read it because there were certain parts that he was kind of chuckling at while
reading it
that you could tell he knew what he wanted to convey in certain parts, and so I enjoyed that and just been going back through some Tim Keller sermons has been just awesome and yet makes me miss his voice.
Yeah.
Like, I think as we get older and other people get older and start to just go to glory, it's like you realize all these important voices are just not there anymore. And yeah. yet, I think it was Matt Chandler that said, it's like, well, this is what God has now. Like, we're here. So anyway, yeah, that's a long answer. But no, I've been really enjoying rereading Tim Keller books and listening to that book and just going through his sermon series. That's kind of what I've been doing lately.
Okay, cool. And Lord of the Rings.
Yep. Which is...
He would be proud of you for that.
Well, yeah, so Finn's finished reading the Lord of the Rings series, and then Aislinn's just finished reading the Narnia series. So we've been in a pretty big Tolkien Lewis just mode. We read a biography about Tolkien as mm-hmm. well as a... Well, the kids and I That's for right. our morning yep. time, and that was really interesting too.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Yeah, cool.
We've been immersed in those worlds lately.
Yeah. Are you going to ask me what I've been reading or listening to?
Do you have an answer? Well, I don't know if you know this about Wade, but he listens to just, I don't want to say excessive amounts, but you listen and absorb a lot of books, podcasts. Like, you're always listening to something. So it's not a question of what are you listening to, but maybe narrow it down to, like,
yeah, sure.
your most
well okay.
interesting
things. So here's a cool thing, guys. I don't know how y'all feel about this, but my parents, I purchased a Kindle, and my parents brought it for to us
mm-hmm.
because it's excessively expensive to buy one in South Africa. And now Aislinn's actually stolen it from me. But
yeah, she's pretty into it.
I still borrow it sometimes, and I'm pretty pumped about it because there's lots of theological books that I've gotten for cheap or for free or whatever the case may be that I actually just haven't been able to read.
Mm-hmm.
Or, like, for instance, I just hate reading things on the computer. And so, you know, we get our monthly or our quarterly, what is it? It's not quarterly. It's every 2 months, I think, Modern Reformation magazine.
Mm-hmm.
And now I can read that on the iPad. Oh, I'm loving it. I'm loving that little device.
Well, on the Kindle, not... Cause oh, the iPad's yeah, on the also Kindle.
On the Kindle,
on.
I'm
yeah,
sorry.
Yeah.
It's a miracle. It's a miracle thing.
Yeah, so...
Yeah, so, yeah, I'm pretty pumped about that. And so I've been getting to dabble in lots of different things that I've been... wanting to read more thoroughly. Also, I've been on a crime kick lately, T. Mm-hmm. I don't even know if you know that, but I've been re-listening / rereading Elmore Leonard books,
mm-hmm.
Who I just love. I just love Elmore Leonard so much. And his.
Well, we all seem to be in a bit of a crime kick, too,
because
Aislinn's going through all the Hardy Boys books,
that's
the
right.
old ones,
yeah.
which she's enjoying that.
Yeah, and the boys and I have been rewriting the Hardy Boys books as the Hardy Bros. And I'm Franklin, and this is my brother Joseph. The boys and I have really enjoyed doing that.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right, T, I think that's all I've got. Yeah, there's so many other podcasting things I could talk about.
This isn't so bad, because this
but
is just like
you and
I talking.
You took this to 50 minutes. Yeah, yeah.
But I just have to forget that anyone else is listening to this
yeah,
conversation.
That's true. All right, so any apologies that we need to make?
No.
We make no apologies. All right, babe. Hey, this is Wade and Tara, Team McComas, signing off. Team McComas. Okay, so we did 16, 17, 18, the end of the year. So that was, our last one was December of 2022. Good job, us. I think that's just fine. So this will be then what? Team Talk episode 19.
The transition.
Don't, whoa, no, we can't call it that. Man, see, okay, you're right. You shouldn't say everything that you're thinking on the podcast.